so fits with what, well, last week came a little bit out of what Morgan shared a few weeks ago. Morgan isn't here today. She's with her kids who are sick and at home. How's Morgan doing, by the way? She's okay? Okay, good. But she shared a few weeks ago, just during sharing time, about from James chapter 1, and about the man who, and the person, but who looks in the mirror and then goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. And it's like, it's compared to the person who looks into the law, but then doesn't follow through with what he sees. And law, by law, I mean the word of God here, not old covenant Mosaic law, but reads, but then, so imagine, you know, you're putting together the barbecue. You know, I don't know if you were doing the barbecue itself or something else this week, but reads, but then totally forgets what they read and does it their own way anyways, and starts assembling. And by the way, that's just called being a man, by the way. You know, we all do it, at least all the guys. We got to admit it. We've all done it. And then all of a sudden you have 3 bolts and 4 nuts left over at the end, and you're not supposed to have any left over. But James 1 talks about us reading and meditating on the word, but unless we walk it out, it's kind of useless. That's what chapter 2 is all about in James. Chapter 1 is all about that place of looking intently and not being like that person who looks in the mirror and then goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like, but instead look in the mirror and don't forget. And I was just meditating on that again from last week and from a few weeks ago and how we're supposed to look in the mirror and the Word of God is our mirror. Well, then this week, okay, so 2 things happened. Well, first of all, so earlier this week, I was listening to some sermons again and some teaching, and I found this guy on YouTube, which so far I can wholeheartedly recommend. I know Jesse's listened to a bunch of him, and Carlene's starting to listen to him, and his name is Mike Winger. He's from down in the States somewhere, but what I really so much appreciate about him is he just, like, whatever the topic, whether it's, you know, whether it's talking about atheism or talking about Calvinism and predestination or holiness or different Bible translations or different things, he always goes back to the Word, and he's nice and he's just calm. He's almost Canadian, like where he has a little bit of Canadian humor. You know, there's Canadian humor, and then there's American humor, and then there's other humor and all that kind of stuff. But anyways, pleasant to listen to, but I really appreciate him just going back to the Word. Let's see what the Word has to say. Let's see what the Word has to say. Anyways, there's just a little plug for him. I've really been blessed by his ministry. But he was speaking and kind of just a little aside of one of his sermons or one of his teachings, he hit on 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And he mentions this verse and just taught maybe for 2 minutes on it. Like, again, it was an aside, but it's so fit with what God has been saying to us. And I was just captivated. I had to listen to it a few times and then get into 2 Corinthians as well. And so I'm going to just turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to read a little bit so we get a little bit of context. But the verse that I'm really going to concentrate on is down in verse 18 near the end of the chapter. I'm going to start in verse 2. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. I love that. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So he's contrasting the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and then the new covenant of Christ, which is love the Lord your God and love each other. That sums up the whole law. Now, if the ministry that brought death, meaning the Mosaic covenant, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading as it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, right? Because the law, we read the law, oh, I can't fulfill the law, I keep on breaking the law, I keep on messing up. It just condemns us because we feel so bad that we just can't do it, right? So that's if the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And there I had to stop for a little bit. I had to stop because the thing about the new covenant, right, here's a little aside, the thing about the new covenant is it doesn't just bring an understanding of righteousness, or it doesn't just bring a theology of righteousness so that we can write a paper on it or something. It actually brings the righteousness itself, where we can live righteously. So we are counted righteous, as other parts of Scripture say, because of Christ. Christ's righteousness is our righteousness, but also we can be set free from sin, the stuff that plagues us, the anger, the hatred, the selfishness, the self-pity, the angst, the worry, all that kind of stuff. We can actually be set free from it and be righteous. Not self-righteous so we can sit on a pedestal and look down at other people, like the holier than thou. No, that's a false narrative, okay? It actually brings freedom. It brings righteousness, where we are now free to love. We're free to care. We're free to bless. We're free to be patient, even as other people are going crazy. We're free to love on our coworkers, even as they're like, what's going on? Jesse tells us about the restaurant business whenever he comes back from work, you know, and sometimes people are going nuts, and yet Jesse's calm, and he's free to be calm. He's free to be loving. He's free to be caring. We're free. I just meditated on that one for a while, just chewed on it. This new covenant that Christ brings actually brings us righteousness. Oh, I love it. Anyways, but that's a little aside. We can talk about, it kind of fits into what we're going to be talking about here. For what was glorious, meaning the old covenant, has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. So the glory of the old covenant, man, it doesn't even compare to the new covenant. Can't even notice the glory in comparison. It's like in a dark room, a little candle. Oh, that's really bright when it's in a dark room. But then when you turn on the floodlights, you can't even notice the brightness of the candle. That's the comparison between the old covenant and the new. Okay? But even the old covenant, they couldn't stare at it, and it needed to be veiled. So anyways, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, meaning the old covenant, right? It was fading away, came with glory. How much greater is the glory of that which lasts? And dare I say, lasts forever. Unfading. Verse 12, therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, that same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. And even to this very day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And I love that. That just teaches the oneness of God. Okay, you have the Spirit and you have the Lord, Jesus Christ, but they're one. And same with the Father. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all one. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then verse 18. Okay, and this is the verse I want to concentrate on. And we, okay, this is us. This is all believers. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want to read that verse actually in the New King James Version. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The reason I wanted to read that is because in the original language, that word mirror is there. Okay? And I think it's really important. So this is what Pastor Mike Winger he shared, and this blew me away. I had to pause it. I had to just pause it and chew for a while, right? Because I'd never heard this said, and I just had to meditate on this. So when you're looking at a mirror, so it says that in the mirror you're seeing the glory. Well, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. You see you. Now, this doesn't mean, let's not take this in a bad direction. I'm sure some people can take this in a bad direction then. Yeah, that's right. I'm glorious. You know, we start singing those worship songs to ourselves. Glorious, you are glorious. You know, no, it's not about that. Just like that old song in the 90s, you are beautiful beyond description. You don't sing that to yourself. It's the glory of God in you. And that glory is meant to increase. We are meant to go from glory to glory, to glory to glory. Ever, the NIV, ever increasing glory. When we come to Christ, right? It's glorious. Our lives are changed, radically changed. The Bible talks about it. We cross from death to life. The change is the same as one minute you're looking at a corpse, the next minute it's the corpse is dancing around and Jesus is saying, take off the grave clothes, you know? It's glorious. But that's just the beginning. It's like Jesus says to us, you haven't seen anything yet. You just keep following, keep meditating, keep getting into the manual, keep getting into the word, keep staring in the mirror, and you're going to become more and more like what you read. As you look at your face, as you look at your decisions, as you look at your lives, if you follow me, if you keep saying yes to me, you're going to look more and more like what you read. So rather than the stories that we read being something in the past, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and we sit there wishing and wanting, and oh, I wish God would work that way in our lives. I wish we would see the same kind of change in our lives. I wish we would see the same kind of revival in our lives. I wish we would know the Lord's voice like they knew back then. No, as we continue to say yes, as we continue to walk from glory to glory, what we should see in the mirror of his word is this place of, man, not in a prideful way, but man, I see him more in me every day. I see more and more of him in me every day. I'm more patient than I used to be. I'm kinder than I used to be. I'm more loving than I used to be. That used to freak me out. When someone would come to me and do that, or at work, you know, we'd get extra busy, I'd start freaking out. I don't freak out as much anymore. Oh, I wonder what's happened. You're changing from glory to glory. You're not forgetting what you're reading. And it's not about Bible memorization, although don't get me wrong, I think Bible memorization is awesome. Awesome. Learn the word, but it's not about that. We actually, in a lesser way, I want to make sure, because I don't want to be accused here. I know I won't be accused here, but like, of, we're not God, okay? We're not Christ. Just let me say that, if anyone doesn't know that. We're not God, okay? Because what I'm going to say is, we should become more and more the living Word. Where we're not just quoting the Word, we're living it. We are called to be the explanation of the Word. I've heard that said of Christ over and over again. And again, we're not Jesus. He lives in us, though. We're not God. We're His people. We're His creation. We are His children. We are collectively, as the body of Christ, we are His bride. Okay? We are the redeemed. We are the saved. Absolutely. But more and more, our lives should explain what we read in the Word. Our lives should be an explanation and an example of what people read in the Word. So that when a non-believer or when believers, when they pick up the Word, right, they can hold it up and look at you, look back and forward, and man, that's really similar. If you've ever met my dad, okay, right? I have gotten it before in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of an airport, someone coming up to me, I think it was at an airport actually, literally, where someone came up to me and says, "You're John's son, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah? Who are you?" I look like my dad. I once saw a dad. This is when I was younger. I was in my early 30s, and then I saw a picture of my dad in his early 30s. I thought it was me, but I could tell it wasn't, because you know it was like a Polaroid and like you know, old fashioned like Polaroid grainy color and all that kind of stuff. But this certain angle of the camera, like, oh my goodness, it was like me, or I was like him. Whenever people say to me, "Oh, Kevin, you look like Jesse," I'm like, "No, Jesse looks like me. I don't look like Jesse. My dad doesn't look like me. I look like my dad." May it be of us, as we continue to just get steeped in the Word, as we dive in, may we not just read it. May we not forget when we go to work what we read. May we not forget what when we go on our daily activities. As you go down south, and we've talked about this, like Larry and Lil. I know Larry already said he's already there kind of thing, you know. But don't forget who you are. We don't go on vacation and forget. I am my Father's son wherever I go. Whether I'm in the home, whether I'm here at the pulpit preaching, whether I'm out at play, enjoying recreation, as we pass from glory to glory, what's supposed to happen is that when you look in the mirror, you see Jesus. More and more and more and more and more. Where His glory shines. Now I understand that, I at least for me, I look in the mirror sometimes and I'm like, that's not Jesus. There's some stuff in my life that is still so clearly not Jesus. Just like, that doesn't look like Jesus at all. And I hear the Lord saying to me, don't worry, we're going to work on that. I'm working on that. That's going to change. Just like all the other changes that I've brought in your life, that's going to change. You're not done yet. We're going to continue to go from glory to glory to glory. But it is this place of, I am willing. I'm not forgetting. I am remembering. Not just when he talks about remembering, he's not just talking about, again, memorization. It's not about that. Do we remember in our actions? And when we find we don't remember, I was talking to someone about this recently again, and this is, I mean, anyone who's been at Emmanuel Grace for any stretch of time will have heard this many times already. But when you find something that isn't right, you look at yourself in the mirror, so to speak, and you see this isn't God, this isn't the Lord, this isn't good. How do you deal with that? The way I deal with it is I take it to the Lord. I say, Lord, this isn't from you. This isn't you in me. This isn't Christ living in me. Right? The whole Galatians 2:20, right? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's not it. So I take it to him, and I lay it at his feet, and I say, oh God, forgive me. I want to repent. I want to say no to this. And anywhere where I have agreed with this kind of behavior, or agreed with this kind of thinking, or agreed with this kind of whatever it is, Lord, I just want to get rid of it in my life. Would you take it away from me? Would you heal me? Would you restore me? Would you redeem that part of me? Because we're working out our salvation, right? None of us are complete. We're working out our salvation. We continue to work it out. We continue to grow from glory to glory. And repentance is such a huge part of that. Bringing it to the Lord again. And the beautiful thing is, with this new covenant, there is no condemnation. Like Romans says, there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. It's not about condemning us. We don't come to him. If you come to the Lord, or at least you think you're coming to the Lord, and you hear him saying, you evil person, you. I can't believe I even let you stay in my family. Just so you know, you're not talking to the Lord at that point. You're talking to that angel of light that John was mentioning. You're talking to the enemy who's pretending to be the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who wraps you in his arms and says, yeah, I know, I see it too. Now, he doesn't downplay it. He doesn't say, it doesn't matter. I took care of that at the cross. It doesn't matter if you yelled at your coworker, or if you slander your boss, or if you cheat on your taxes. That doesn't matter at all. No one will ever know. No, that's not the Lord either. That's the enemy as well. Or ourselves pretending to be God, you know, one or the other. The Lord wraps us in his arms and he says, I know, I see it too, and I'm working on it. I'm working on it in you. Keep working with me. Keep saying yes to me. Keep following. Keep bringing it to me. Keep talking to me about it. I'm going to take you from glory to glory. I'm going to take you from glory to glory so that people just don't understand. When they look at your life, they just don't understand the radiance that'll come off you. They'll ask you where your hope comes from. I've had that. I still remember, yeah, working at Penner Lumber, and the one guy just saying, I don't understand. Because me and Doug Hebert were working there, and we would just readily admit, it's not us, it's the Lord in ourselves. We're sinners in ourselves. And no confidence in ourselves, no confidence in the flesh, and all this kind of stuff. And we would readily just give glory to Christ, give glory to God. And this guy said to us, I don't get it. From what you guys say, like, you should have the worst self-esteem in the whole world. And yet you guys are two of the most confident guys I know. And it just emanates, and it's so beautiful, because God was working through us to such an extent where eventually I get asked to be a groomsman in the guy's wedding. Non-believer, but just saw something, and his glory will just shine off of us. Again, I know that Jesse has had it, and you've only worked there a month and a bit, you know, at Bricks and Barley there, told not to talk about religion, and yet the one who told them not to talk about religion just can't stop talking to Jesse about religion. Can't stop asking, or can't stop, and then sometimes not asking, sometimes angry towards it or whatever. He's been told, like, basically sum up, like, what is it with you? Why are you so at peace? Why are you so this? Why are you so that? They see the glory. And it's not this mystical thing. Like, don't get me wrong. There is a lot of pretty amazing stuff in Scripture, and there should be amazing stuff in our lives. I've shared before, I know that angels walk with us, so that's just clear biblical teaching. And sometimes we're aware of it, sometimes we're not. And there is glory stuff, you know, Mount of Transfiguration, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the glory that is simply has transformed your character. The glory that comes off of you just as you're at peace and still and full of love. And it's so good. His covenant, as we covenant with him, brings that righteousness that just speaks to people. And I hope it speaks to us as well. I want to encourage you. As I was meditating on this and thinking about this, and I think about a few of us have been together for 7.5 years now, you know, and others have come along into the group at later times. I see the glory of God growing in you. We can brag on others, so I'm gonna brag on those parents that we prayed for today back there. Yeah, that's you, Candace. You, Josh. And I think the whole church can affirm this, that like I've just seen such change and growth in your lives over the last 3-4 years, however long you've been coming here, 5 years. I've seen such a change. And you were nice people before. You were great before. But that's the whole thing about glory to glory. Is it just keeps getting brighter and brighter in you? I think you're doing amazing as parents. Like, absolutely amazing. I see the radiance of God from you, the effects of the radiance of God in your life on Ellie so clearly. Haven't seen it on Jeremiah yet, you know, because he's quite young, you know. But even what you mentioned there, the prayers and seeing the joy that we prayed over you as a family and as you prayed, seeing that joy just lived out in his life already. And you know what? I pray that 3, 4, 5 years from now, you're not the same then as you are now. I pray that the glory of God that shines off of you guys right now would seem dim compared to what it's going to be in 3, 4, and 5 years. And I see it on everyone who has come here. I see it. I see it. I see it growing. And you know, sometimes we're hardest on ourselves. We can see it on others, but we're pretty hard on ourselves. You know, we look at someone else the way they're dressed or whatever. Or, oh, you look so beautiful. Well, I'm talking as if I'm like from a lady's perspective. Guys, we don't really do this. Maybe we should more. Like George says, we need to hug more and all that kind of stuff, you know. But, oh, you're so beautiful and all this and all that, and you're so handsome. But then when someone compliments us, well, no. Or when we look at ourselves in the mirror, it's like, oh, I need to lose some weight. I need to do this. I need to do that. Oh, I want to encourage you, look at yourself and listen to what Christ says about you. It's interesting. Like, just so you know, someday, like I've shared this before, I'm in the same boat. I'm not a pastor because I've got everything together. I'm a pastor because that's my calling. Okay? I've been called to it. I've been gifted in it. But I'm not a pastor because I'm all that or I have it all figured out. Some days I can be hard on myself. And sometimes even I think, rightly so, I see my faults better than anyone. I mean, my family sees them pretty good, but even they don't know the half of it. You know, they really don't. I can be pretty hard on myself sometimes, but then every once in a while, I've told this story before where one day I was weeping before the Lord. This is like 15 years ago, but it's still so vivid in my head. I was weeping before the Lord in our boys' toy room when they were young. They had a toy room in our home, and I was just weeping, and I was so frustrated with God and so frustrated with life, and I was going through some serious doubts and heartache and hurt, and I was crying out, sometimes yelling, sometimes sobbing, all the whole mixture of it, right? And so then finally when I got done with that a little bit and took a few breaths, you know, I feel like I heard the Lord saying to me, "Oh, Kevin, you're doing so well." Just like, this is literally how it went, okay? I'm there, and I hear this in my spirit. I just start shaking my head. I'm like, what are you talking about doing well? I'm falling apart here. I am going nuts, and I'm thinking of giving up. And you're saying I'm doing so well? I said this to the Lord. I said, if anyone else had said that to me at this point, I would have called them a liar to their face. But because it's you, Lord, I believe it. Some of you, when you look in the mirror, you're too hard on yourself. Now, I'm not saying don't be challenging, because sometimes there's other times where we look in the mirror and we think we're doing better than we are, actually. And we need the Lord to come along and point out a few things. But see where the Lord has grown you. Look at the changes in your life. And if you don't see changes, I would really encourage you, then it's this place of, Lord, I should be changing. And you'll find that in certain areas, the Lord will say, you're doing really well in this area. But in this area over here, it's time to get moving. And again, no condemnation. The Lord does not condemn. This is not the season of condemnation. That is coming, by the way. Judgment seat of Christ is coming, where there is condemnation. But not yet. Okay? And no condemnation for us who are believers. Because Christ has taken care of all of that. Okay? But in Christ, there is no condemnation. So if you feel a condemning voice, it's not the Lord. It's not the Holy Spirit. But he'll come in and say, you know what? You've been like this a little bit too long. I've been hinting. I've been nudging. I've been doing the wink, wink, nod, nod, say no more, say no more. Right? I look at Craig because we do that to each other every once in a while. And now he has to be a little bit more straightforward and say, it's time. That has to change. It has to change. It's been going on long enough. Listen to him. He wants to take you from glory to glory. We've all heard it before. I've heard it before many times where God comes to me and just says, oh, Kevin, just yield. Just give in to what I'm trying to share with you, what I'm trying to build in you. Would you just yield? Would you just submit? Would you just surrender? I want to make you more like me, because I can't give you anything better than myself. I want to give myself more and more to you every day, so that you look more and more like me every day, so that you walk in that peace. So many people are searching for peace, and they don't realize that it's only found in Christ. The world is looking for peace. The world is looking for joy. The world is looking for contentment. The world is looking for purpose. And it's like you said, that God-shaped void, only God can fill. Only he can transform. Yeah. So, keep looking in the mirror. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't be too lenient on yourself. Allow God to share what he wants to share. And here's the reality. The more and more we look into the Word as the days pass by, the more and more we should start looking like what we see. in the Word. The more and more we should start looking like Christ. Are there any questions or comments on this?
I was just thinking when you were talking, as an example, sometimes I'll hear Emily say something that I often say, just like it rubs off,
You
know, like because we spend a lot of time together. And It's just like when you're in the Word, the more you're in the Word, it's just a natural. Something that naturally happens, right?
Naturally grows in you, for sure.
Yeah, it's a fruit of,
Absolutely. And especially as when we're in the Word, we're praying through the Word. Because there are many times when I'm reading through the Word, and let's get it out of our minds that I'm reading, this verse really speaks to me, but I got to get to the end of the chapter. You know? No. Just camp on that verse a little bit. Stop. Pray through it. There are times when I read and I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't see that in me at all. Or he's talking about things that need to be changed. Oh, Lord, I see that in me. I need that changed as well in mine. Or there are other times where it's like, yeah, you've done this in me already. Praise you. Take time to pray through the Word. But you will become more and more like him. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, when I think about, I think that for me, the changes that he's made in me is the most significant, the more I understand his love for me.
Yeah.
And that I am his child. And
so
just like
true.
Camping on that. And
so true.
It comes out.
It reminds me of, I knew before I had kids, I knew that I would understand God better once I had children of my own. So true. Because you begin to experience it rather than just read books about it, right? You begin to I experienced fatherhood in that. So too with walking out what we read, that's where the true understanding comes. Reading brings a certain minimal amount, but if it's just reading and if we make the new covenant like the old law, it will just be a veiled glory. But if we walk it out and live it, remember James 1 talks about the one who reads and then walks it out, right? Then we will understand. Yeah. Anyone else?
Our second time, or really our first time here. But I really feel that each one of you is not just reading the Word.
Mm.
You're living the Word. And there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
We've been in churches, and the Word is preached but not lived.
Mm.
And I feel that in this group here, you're seeking to live the Word.
Well, thank you so much. That's very affirming. Thank you. Yeah. I feel like I need to say, when you get to know us, though, just so you know. No, I'm just kidding. That's that Canadian thing in me, right? No, you know, we just want to down. But thank you so much. All right, let me pray for us, and then we're going to worship in song together. Lord, it blows me away that you want me to look in the mirror and see you. And that I should take encouragement in that. And you know, once I get over my my false pride and that Canadian thing of downplaying stuff and deferring and all that. I admit that, and I praise you, I worship you. It's like Larry was saying before about being that grandparent and that pride, and I think there is that holy gratefulness. I see you more in the mirror than I did before. And I know that I like to concentrate on sometimes the parts that still need to change, and yeah, but that's not right, and that's not right. And I know that there's a place for that, and I praise you for that too. But this morning I want to say thank you for the changes that you've brought in my life. And then I want to thank you for the changes you've brought in our church, Lord, in our little congregation here. And I agree with Pauline. I see your faithfulness, and I see you in people's faces here. And so then, Lord, I also want to pray more. I want to look like you more. We want to look like you more. Take us from glory to glory, Lord. Take us from glory to glory. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your patience, and your kindness, and your goodness, and your faithfulness, your gentleness, your self-control, your love, your joy, your peace. Fill us with your boldness and your courage. Fill us with your zeal. I just think of that passage in Isaiah where it talks about he puts zeal on like a cloak. Fill us with your zeal, Lord. We want to look more and more like you. I pray a blessing. I want to pray a blessing over Emmanuel Grace where we would be ever changing. From glory to glory, where we would be ever changing, we would never settle. Man, I could preach on that for a while too, but I won't. Where our place of settlement would be in his presence in glory one day, that's where we'll settle. That's our home. Until then, we are wanderers in this land. But we're not meant to wander aimlessly. We are meant to wander or walk from glory to glory. And so I pray that blessing over us, Lord. And even as I prayed over us, I prayed over the entire church, the one church that is in the world. All my brothers and sisters, some of whom I know, most of whom I don't. I pray that we would all change more and more into your image, into your glory, from glory to glory, Lord. All for your glory, all for the praise of your name. I worship you and I pray this in your name. Amen.
Nara stora kanina, on dara nikanara, nastora nikana, on dira nakandi, hara nastora nakandi nona, andira nasta. Even before I gave the tongue, I knew I was supposed to give it, but like it was just this sense of that God wanted to just bless. It's a blessing of sorts. So that's just what I'm getting.
And him saying, like, he has us. And then the verse that came to my mind was, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Sorry. While we were worshiping, I thought of the parable of the 99 sheep and the one. Here's the 99, and there's a one. And that I felt his covering on us. I just felt that love for us. But it was this I gotta go kind of feeling, because there was a one. I don't know what that is, but he's chasing a one right now. I don't know what it is, but he's gone after somebody.
When Lily gave the tongue, I just thought of the verse, my grace is sufficient for you. And I don't know what that means exactly, but I really felt that there was something deeper about the grace than like we often think about. Usually I look at that verse and I think, well, when we don't know what's about to happen, his grace is sufficient. But it's like, no, his grace is powerful. And there's something about the power of his grace, I think, but I don't know.
Come to me, all you. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest.
I had a picture of water and like a rope being pulled by Jesus, and that we need to grab that rope in the water. So, or that's my impression. Like, I just saw the rope going, but my impression is that we need to grab hold of it in the water.
I just, I want to take what was shared then in the interpretation, just kind of bring it together. And I really, like, this is a picture I get then, is that place of the 99, it's so true. Like, the Lord has done a really neat thing. And if you will, I mean, don't take this too far, but there is such safety. We have such warmth, and even to carry on the some of the pictures from when we were praying for Josh and Candace and Jeremiah, where there's such warmth and safety, and it's great, and enter into that rest. But then there's this calling out to the one. and enter into that rest. And even I think the picture of the in the water and that calling of grab onto the rope and be rescued. And so may we take that message. And in our own lives, I want to say where it's not just for others, but maybe we're really, maybe the Lord, this is just Kevin now, okay? Just so you know, this is just Kevin kind of thinking through things. But there are places of safety and health in our lives, but there are areas where maybe that one area of our life where we have yet to enter into that rest, and we are called to enter into that rest. We're called to grab onto that rope and be rescued. There's other places where we've already entered in, but there's that one place maybe. But then I also believe that it extends out as well to others. Yeah. And by the way, it's all by grace. Not that I'm trying to fit my son in there, but it's that place, understanding, because I love the word grace, you all know that, and so does the Bible, or Bible first, then me. But it's that place of that empowering presence of God, enabling us to be everything that God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do. Grace, the divine influence upon the heart, enabling us to be what we're called to be and do what God has called us to do. He can do it in us. He is doing in us. He who began a good work is completing it in us. And he who began a good work in this region is going to complete it, and so on and so forth. So that's what I hear the Lord saying through that tongue.
I feel like I'm supposed to do At the Cross, Love Ran Red, and then we'll just end after this. So, yeah.